Being that this is Memorial Sunday, I found this illustration. It said there was a wonderful old story about a group of military leaders who commissioned the building of a supercomputer to solve any military problem, large or small, strategic or tactical. And when it was finished, the top brass assembled in front of the new machine for a demonstration. The engineer conducting the demonstration instructed the generals to feed a difficult tactical problem into it. The military leaders proceeded to describe a hypothetical battlefield scenario to the computer and then asked the pivotal question, attacked or retreat? The enormous supercomputer hummed and buzzed and flashed its lights for about an hour or so, and then printed out the one word, yes. The generals looked at one another, and baffled by this kind of answer, finally one of them submitted a follow-up question, yes, what? And the computer responded, yes, sir. In thinking about Pentecost and all of the symbols, and I would like to compliment all of those who have worked so diligently and have made this such a beautiful representation of Pentecost Sunday. When I think about all that transpired in the life of Christ with his disciples and what took place with the disciples on the day of Pentecost, I begin to remember one of the words or sentences that was said to me when I first entered the military, and I never forgot it. It said that the army that can communicate on the field wins the battle. And I think about communication. How many times in marriage counseling has one or the other said to me, well, my husband or my wife just doesn't listen to me. We don't talk anymore. The struggles that we have sometime in raising our adolescent children is to get them to listen to us, or getting the adult to listen to the adolescent. Jesus and Pilate had a difficult time in communication. Jesus tells Pilate, "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And I remember Pilate saying, "And what is truth?" Jesus testifies to the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. And today we assembled here affirming that Jesus is embodied in us by the power of the Spirit. That Spirit that blows into our lives. That Spirit that helps us to communicate with God. Pilate was clueless about what really mattered, or better, who really mattered. He could not see that truth was not merely an idea, but the truth was embodied in a person, Jesus of Nazareth. The Spirit communicates to us that we are God's children. Many times in a time of aloneness, I reflect upon those qualities, those Christian qualities, and I think, how can I be so certain that I'm a child of God? And I realize that God's Spirit enables me to affirm that I'm one of God's children. Pentecost reminds us that we want to know the truth. We have allowed God's Spirit to embody us and prayed that the image of God will be revealed in us. The Spirit offers the way, the truth, the life of holiness and authenticity and steadfast love and faithfulness and boldness to speak the truth to the world. I was raised, most of you know by now, I was raised on the Mill Hill. I always felt pretty good about myself and who I was and my family, and with the local policeman, I didn't cause any problems. I was a pretty fair ball player. But as I have grown and aged through life and traveled throughout the world, I realize that at times I didn't have the highest self-image. And so while in chaplain school in Montgomery, I was privileged, as I've shared with you before, to go to what was then, I'm assuming, the largest and fastest growing United Methodist Church in North America, if not in the world, Fraser Memorial. I went into that church, big church, and as I walked in, I felt this overwhelming outreach of humanity as they say, "Welcome, welcome, we're so glad you're here." And they shook hands with us. Of course, I had on the uniform of my country. They knew I was military, suspected I was from out of town, maybe being stationed at the base, wanted me to be a part of that church. And everywhere I went, if there wasn't someone standing beside me, someone would come up almost and take their place and saying, "Welcome, welcome to Fraser. We're so glad you're here. Can I take you somewhere? What Sunday school class? How old are you? Where would you like to go?" All these questions. So sure enough, I wound up in a Sunday school class. Here were all these nicely dressed people. And one of the ladies began to share about a problem she was having with her teenage daughter. And the next thing I know, in this Sunday school class, she began to weep. And I thought to myself, "Lady, what are you doing crying amongst all these nicely dressed, obviously people of means?" Until another lady who was also nicely dressed stood up, walked around behind the lady who was crying, and put her arms around her and held her as she shared the burdens of her life. And then the class prayed. I realized then that this was a church that loved each other. The reason that it was growing was because it cared for people. I don't know how you birth that into a church. I don't know if any one pastor has the ability to do that. But I know that God's Spirit residing in the hearts of men and women can birth such a love and such caring. And therein, I begin to understand why that church was growing so. Computers are a great asset to us. They can help me with my spelling, enable people like Emmy not have to read my writing, but they can't embody the Spirit of God. That comes from you and me. Pentecostal symbols are around us this day. And as Coach mentioned, something happened to Peter on that day. I remember several years ago as a young boy, I would go outside and we had a TV that on a good day you could get three channels, and if you wanted to see something out of Columbia, I had to go out and start turning the antenna. And Dad or Mom would be inside the house saying, that's good, turn it back a little bit, okay, right there. Those of you born in the digital age just don't know the joys of that. But as I think about Pentecost, the wind, the tongues, the fire, the dove, I ask myself the question, do I have my antenna set right? Do I have my focus right so I can catch the wind? Am I listening to the voice of God? Those disciples that had experienced such lostness, such defeatism, they all had abandoned Jesus. They had all done what they said they would not do. And even in these last few Sundays, as if we have journeyed through Easter and we've experienced the Peters and the Thomases and those that didn't recognize him, and Jesus says, you go to Jerusalem. Jesus didn't tell Peter to go to Capernaum, and he didn't tell Andrew to go to Canaan, and he said, y'all go to Jerusalem and stay there until you be endued with power. I think about the church. I think about all the identity crises that we have. And even among us now, there are those that take their very denomination from what happened on this day. Pentecostal, charismatics, whatever. But I think about the Spirit as it unites us. And rather than divides us, it pulls us together and causes us to proclaim this wonderful message. So I ask, are you willing to communicate to the world this hope that we have? Somebody said, you call a person who speaks in three languages trilingual. You call a person who speaks in two languages bilingual. You call a person who can only speak one language an American. But on Pentecost, they were gathered there, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Romans, Cretans, Arabs, and they all heard the good news being communicated by these who were not drunk, as you suppose, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter said, "This is what was spoken of by Joel. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." We're challenged to do the same. We're challenged to do the same, even though people sometimes dismiss our practice of faith. Our job is to show a little courage as we describe what God is doing in our world. Ours is to tell the good news when an estranged family members come together and we experience that God moment, when an unexpected healing occurs. That's a God moment. When warring factors, no matter who they are, within the church or within our own families or even among ourselves, make peace. That's a God moment. And Peter pointed out a God moment on that day of Pentecost. So may we make our message clear that we are children of God, that we are disciples of Christ. The salvation is not limited to just a select few. The Gentiles can be saved as well. The Scripture says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter makes it clear. You might not know what Joel was talking about in Scripture, but let me tell you, this is what he was talking about. Let me tell you today that the Spirit that affirms within us that we are God's children, that's the Spirit. So let us be a Holy Spirit harnessed church, a community that communicates with courage and clarity, and that we are in the position to hear and to catch God's Spirit, God's wind, and to be caught on fire. Amen.